Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Alec Murtaugh, the case that just keeps on giving, because we don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to see a new trial? The South Carolina Supreme Court still yet to decide on that. But I got to say, if you're not looking at the merits of the case, and you're more so looking at the structure of the case, right versus wrong, how things should work in a specific way to get justice in a fair and balanced way, it didn't happen in this case. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss. And it's something none of us really saw happening while it was happening, all after the fact. Becky Hill, of course, the one that all the fingers being pointed at originally. It was about some comments that were made to jurors, one saying they definitely heard it and it influenced their decision. But then we also have now Egg Lady, a human being, not just eggs. Her name is Myra Crosby, juror number 785. She's the one who allegedly, according to Becky, had that Facebook post, or her ex-husband had the Facebook post talking about the case, and supposedly her and her ex-husband had this conversation. Turns out that never existed. There wasn't a Facebook post by either of them. But Becky showed Judge Clifton Newman something that made him say, take your eggs and go. What do you think happened here? I mean, this isn't this like the definition of jury tampering, if this is true?
You know, this is one of these cases that, first of all, I mean, the whole reason we know about it is Becky Hill herself. She decided to write a book. I mean, if she just didn't say anything, I don't think anyone would have said anything.
No.
That's the irony of it. I'm not trying to say that's right or wrong, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's the facts.
It is.
You know, she absolutely, as the saying goes, cooked her own goose. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We have all this information. She wrote a lot of it. She plagiarized some of it. It's mind-boggling to me that she did not realize what this would mean. This is a high profile case. Her attorneys are high profile. And then I want to add to that the dogged work that his attorneys did. By their statements, they were literally driving around, going from juror to juror, trying to get these, you know, statements notarized and sworn to regarding statements made by her. So that was a lot of work. And that in and of itself, to me, is problematic.
Yeah.
You know, badgering jurors, if you will, going to their homes, invading their privacy. Obviously, wasn't illegal. They're attorneys and they did it. But that's what, when I think about the groundwork that laid where we are at now, it's really very interesting. And I think groundbreaking. Back to your question, is this the definition of sort of jury tampering? You know, when you look at the statements she made, I want to hear what everybody says. I really would love to hear the words of these jurors.
Yeah.
There's so much that can be said, that can be taken so many different ways. I always use the expression, you can say you're homesick. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you're homesick or you're home and you got your you need to throw up.
Yeah.
Right?
Inflection. So
there's it's confusing, and I feel like some people seem to have made a lot of her comments. Some people didn't even think any of that. Some people didn't even hear them. This court, the Supreme Court, has got a lot to sort through.
Well, the fact that this post supposedly never even existed, and they've looked into it. And it appears it didn't exist on either of their accounts. So, but Judge Newman has said, no, she showed me something. So what the hell did she show him? I mean, the only thing that can come to my mind is that Becky Hill created a fake Facebook account to make it look like it was the juror, showed it to him, and just, you know, hey, look at this, done. Oh my gosh, yeah, we got to do this. And then that was that. And then delete the account. I mean, I wonder if that could be looked into more. I don't know. I don't know what else she would have shown him, or if it was just on her word that she said this. But he does claim that he did see something. That in itself, to remove a juror by making up a false narrative about them because you suspect that maybe they will hang the jury because maybe they haven't been convinced that Alec Murdaugh was the murderer. I mean, that's how this story is playing out right now. I don't see any way he couldn't get a new trial, but I also don't see any way that this couldn't be somehow Becky Hill being criminally liable for this.
Well, I think we still have a ways to go regarding that post. And I remember that post. I remember posting it on my Twitter. As I recall, I remember looking closely into this only from the standpoint of, did it exist? Mm-hmm. And it did exist. What happened to it, I don't know. I find it very interesting. You know, could the individuals involved take it down? I mean, there's screenshots of it circling around social media, at least as I recall. So,
but it's not hard to make a fake account and make, I could make one. I mean, you've had it done to you, you know, where people could fake it.
I get it done to me daily.
Exactly.
Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if you're just showing it to someone and they're not digging into it much, they're just going, oh, look, this person. I mean, it's easy to look at that and think you're making the right decision. I don't really blame Judge Clifton Newman here at all. If anything, just for not, I guess, doing a little more research into it, but you got a trial to keep moving along. There's not a lot of time to look into something like that when accusations like this pop up.
But Tony, the other thing is could anybody have done that?
Yeah.
In other words, not her. And then she sees it and she makes something out of it. I just feel there's so many layers about the Facebook piece. I think that obviously if somehow it's traced to her IP address,
yeah,
we have a huge situation here. But I think at the crux of the tampering situation are statements that were made.
Yeah.
And to me, that is going to be the crux of whether this is overturned or not. And that's only saying if this Facebook account did exist in some way, shape, or form at some point created by somebody.
You make a good point.
But
yeah, it doesn't have to have been from her. It could have been. I mean, this was such a high profile case. Anybody could have really done that if they knew who a juror was, which I'm sure there were plenty of people who did. Anyone could have made this up just to put it into the ether, to troll, if you will. And I could see Becky being Becky going, oh my gosh, maybe this is real, and believing it. And it never really did exist on either of their actual profiles, though.
I could too. You know, when you look at Becky Hill, Becky Hill is not some criminal mastermind, in my opinion. Becky Hill was a clerk. She reminds me so much of almost every clerk I've seen in every court, right? Extremely organized. She was proud of her job. She was, I think, for all intents and purposes, trying to see justice served, but clouded and probably made comments she should not have made. Mm-hmm. Again, that's if this Facebook post, you know, if we can sort of forget about that as being truly connected in her to her in any way, shape, or form. If we're just talking about her comments and the things she said, you know, I think the biggest one was something like to the point of you can't really believe him on the stand or words to that effect. I mean, that, you know, left such an impression with a juror. Is that enough? We're talking really case precedent setting grounds here, and it's going to be very interested to see. I'm so interested to see what the court decides. I feel like here in our public view, we just are missing so many facts.
Yeah.
I want to hear more facts of what was said and what was interpreted. And again, it's just mind-boggling to me that she cooked her own goose in this regard.
All things that didn't need to have to take place, but after the fact they did. And what an impact they are having on the outcome of all of this. It'll be fascinating to see once this gets to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, think about this, Tony. Here he was convicted, and I think the evidence was really, really strong in this case. A lot of people didn't agree with me at the time, but I thought it was strong simply based on that surprise recording that was made, the Snapchat that proved he was down at the kennel.
Yeah.
You know, that was just the aha moment. That was, all right, case over.
Yeah.
Book him, Dano. Point. And so to have this possibly overturned and have this trial all take place again, you're not going to see Alec Murdoch lightly on the stand. He's still going to be in prison the rest of his natural life because of all of his other crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. Like you said, these words that she spoke could have such a detrimental impact on this murder case.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.